Alrighty. So the big farmer's not here today, so that's a good thing, I guess. We got the other big farmer. He's here. Maybe this will give him some inspiration for something to take a little piece of his land. According to Julie Iovine in the New York Times, many owners of small farms in America began to reduce their wholesale farming to a mere sideline and instead started in using their property for another purpose, entertainment farming. Now, some farmers think that they do it for their own entertainment because they're not making money at it, but what was interesting, they began to do what's called entertainment farming. And it says, other terms for this new way to make a living on the farm are agritainment and agritourism. All right. Entertainment farmers attract paying customers to their property with country bands, hay bale mazes, petting corrals, tricycle courses. City-dwelling families eager for the feel of the farm can pay up to $12 for admission, food, and amusements. It can cost a child $1 to frolic in a pile of straw or to pick a flower. Some farms have mazes cut into their cornfields that can take a person 45 minutes to navigate through. Ivan reports that one farmer in Arizona makes up to $15,000 on a good weekend. In 1994, Oklahoma introduced agritourism as an official part of their state tourism policies. Sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? To sit there and say that agritourism is big business, but it is. A kid that was in one of my first youth groups, he ended up getting his grandpa's 80-acre farm. And he was like, what can I do on 80 acres to provide for my family? And so he plants corn, and he's got a GPS system hooked up to his little tractor that he goes through, and he cuts out a different maze every year. And he makes more money off of his farm, Steel Farms, in Craigville, Indiana, in a matter of 6 weeks than he does off of everything else he does, selling seed, raising cattle, and farming at 80 acres. He says, I'm really not a farm. I just look like a farm. Sometimes a Christian or a church can resemble an entertainment farmer. For whatever reason, we are diverted from the central purpose of producing a crop. Fruitfulness is God's will for every Christian and for every church. Ouch. How many churches in America look like churches and act like churches somewhat, but don't produce a crop? You go to Russia and you look, and you see that the government has sponsored churches, not because they want churches to become successful or to make a difference in the people's lives of the land in which they live, but because they go in and they take these magnificent structures and they put gold gilding on the tops of them so people can look at them and they say, look at the failure of the church. And if we're not careful, as individuals who make up the church, and as a church in this community, a church in this land, as a church part of this world, we can become no different than them. Unless we have a secure purpose of the church in mind to fulfill the Great Commission by following Jesus' command to go into all the world, to make converts into disciples who make disciples. That's what I preached on last week. This week, we're going to look at the purpose of missions. Today, the missions, some people that are going to go on a missions trip to Alaska are gathering together. They're going to talk about what they're doing. They're going to put their money on the line, and they're going to get ready to go. And that's kind of a cool thing because people are going out to Alaska to go and to go on a missions trip. And that's part of what Jesus told us to do. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, simple little verse. Sounds very familiar to Matthew 28, but he said to them this, Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Preach the good news of the gospel to everyone you meet. Go and find a way so that you can share the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done with everyone and anyone who you can tie up and listen. See, that's what Jesus came into our world to do. He came so he could bring the good news to us that God loves us and cares for us. And he showed it and proved it to be true when he died for us and rose from the dead so that we could have eternal life. He included us in his ministry to the world and commanded us to share the gospel with everyone we meet. Anyone that comes our way, so that we have the opportunity to make sure that everyone hears the good news. Now, this very mission that he put the early church on was what launched the church out of the upper room and into the world. And it's the reason that each and every one of us are here today. That we had someone who cared enough to share the good news with us. That there is a God who loves us and cares about us and will see us through any time and struggle in our lives. And one day he will make all struggle and pain cease and will be in his presence forever. After Jesus' death, there was uncertainty and fear that was overwhelming the early church. They were like, will he really be with us? Will he really be with us till the end like he promised? He had spoken those words of comfort to them, but there was this waiting that was taking place that was making the church a little bit nervous, because Jesus, when he was right as he ascended, he told them something. He said this in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It records those words. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism by John was a baptism of repentance. It was there. It was an outward sign of the inward change that people desired in their lives. The Holy Spirit was going to come and he was going to baptize them for something, but for what? Well, if you go to the heart of who Jesus is and what he was about and what he was doing, you will see what he meant. Because just in a couple of verses later, in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, you read these words. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, we were given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to the church to unleash the church upon the world so that every person who called themselves a follower of Christ, who truly believed and repented of their sins, would receive this gift of the Holy Spirit to go out and do exactly what Jesus told them to do. They would have all the power they needed to make it through each day, and they would get through each day sharing the gospel everywhere they went. The heart of the missions is the Great Commission, and it is something that every Christian is to participate in. Now think about that. The heart of missions is the Great Commission, and it is something every Christian is to participate in. There is not a special class of Christians that are missionaries, a select few who go and do this thing. Jesus said, all y'all do this. It's part of our DNA. It's part of who we are. It's part of what we're to be a part of every single day. Wherever you're at on this thing that's tilted 23 plus or minus degrees, going around the sun, wherever you're at, whoever you're with, you share the gospel. Everyone. That's not just for those who are crazy enough to sell everything they've got, jump on a plane and go someplace, to get on a boat and sail it across an ocean, and when they get there, burn the boat so they can't come back home. Those people are nuts. Those people are real missionaries. But you know what? There are real missionaries among us who have businesses that show the love of Christ every time a person can't pay their bill that moment, but give them an opportunity to show, say, look, I'll give you some time. You know what? I'm a Christian, and I will accept your payment. I will walk with you through this difficult time. But each and every one of us, wherever we're at, should be sharing the love of Christ with everyone and talking about Jesus all the time. When was the last time you talked with somebody about Jesus outside of the church or your small group? Someone said last night, we got a winner in the front row. Get him a Tootsie Pop. Good job, John. But when was the last time we talked about Jesus? I was at a friend's shop in Freeport Friday night in the middle of the storm, and he says, all right, someone gave my kid a Bible. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Here we go. And we sit down to dinner, and for some reason, my kid decides he wants to read the Bible a little bit out of there, and we're in Genesis chapter 3. And it talks about God made them having to sew fig leaves together. And he has a question. It's an important one. Where'd they get the needle and thread? He goes, I told him that was above my pay grade and he needed to ask you. So what's your answer? Hobby Lobby? I don't know. Wow, the important question. Where did they get the needle and thread? Killed a porcupine, pulled a quill, got themselves a little vine, and sewed some fig leaves together. How's that? It's not a very good answer. I'm like, well, does it matter? He goes, to Braden it does. To Braden it does. I'm like, so I don't know if I can Google that later, but I'll have to figure out something. But you know what was interesting is in the middle of a machine shop on a late Friday night, got a chance to talk about Jesus. You know, I love those old war movies where you see the guys in the barracks and it's mail call and they get the mail from their girlfriend. And they're like, I just love her so much. And they got the picture hanging on their locker and they're talking and they're like, oh, she is so beautiful and so wonderful and so great and so loving and so kind. And I just want to be with her and I miss her so much. And she kissed like nobody else could kiss. And all the other guys are, shut up, will you? Because they just got a Dear John letter saying, I left you for your cousin. I couldn't wait for you any longer, so I'm with someone else now. You know, what's really great about Jesus is he never leaves you for someone else. You'll never get a Dear John letter from Jesus. And so you can sit and you can talk about him and share about his love and say, you know, until people are so sick of hearing about Jesus, it's like those guys sick about hearing about this amazing woman back home. But maybe we can figure out a way to share about this amazing Jesus in such a way that they go, I want him too. You see, people loved by Jesus, who really love Jesus, should be talking about Jesus so much so that either everybody wants to hear more and meet Jesus, or they're looking at us and say, will you please shut up? And then we can look at them and say, I can't, because he is so amazing and you really need to meet him. And if other Christians are telling you to shut up, maybe they're the ones that need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ the most. We need to be talking about Jesus everywhere we can. That's what the Great Commission and the directive of Jesus to the early church lays out for us. He says, you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, missionary work is about going out into the world. This is nice. Some of you, you know, like last week, we didn't have power at my house. All we had was a carbon monoxide producing heater in the house. And it was, man, people were wonderful. They called, man, I'll get my generator fixed. If you need it, I will get it fixed and you can use it. And I'm like, no, man, we're camping. It's great. Got a little headache from the emissions from the lanterns and the furnace. But about Thursday or Friday, that cleared up. I was all right. It was a great camping experience this winter in our house. We were trapped in our house, and the girls went to Freeport because they wanted a shower, so they went to visit Hannah. I came to church because it was warm. Figured if I stayed up here and you stayed back there, nobody smelt me, and we're all happy, right? I'm warm, got lights, internet. It's a great place to be, but we can't huddle here. We can't huddle here. This is not where we put our Christian on and come here. We have to go there. We cannot huddle. I know it's cold and we want to huddle and cuddle, but we need to go and share the gospel, because there's nothing better than sharing the gospel. We're told to go to the ends of the earth, to all nations, to anyone and everyone who hear, to the all whoever's. Our job is to believe in the one who has sent us and share the gospel with everyone we meet. We're not going to make them all believe, but the Holy Spirit will help them believe. We're to go to preach the gospel so they can start on a journey to hear about Jesus, to receive him as Savior and Lord. One person's going to come out and say, you know, you really need to meet Jesus. And another person comes along and said, man, I want to tell you about somebody amazing. His name's Jesus. He loves you and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And another person comes along. It's like Paul said, one plants, one waters. God makes it grow. And someone even gets to harvest that. And who knows what you are in that whole thing. You might be the planter or the waterer. You're not the grower. God does that, but you might bring in the harvest. You know, but what's cool is all four stages, God's in the mix. He's right there with you. So we need to go. I wrote down, we need to put the, this is so old. Oh man, this is so old. You guys remember it from when it was new. Put the go in gospel. Go. It's not sit a spell. It's go. Gospel. You see, missionary work is about preaching the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-5. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you will have believed in vain. And this is awesome. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Anybody from Awana remember this verse? See, this is one of the verses that we force those Awana kids to memorize. According to the Scriptures, Jesus came. According to the Scriptures, he died. According to the Scriptures, he was raised. And according to the Scriptures, he appeared. We force those little buggers to learn that. Why? Because it lays the foundation that the Scriptures tell the truth about Jesus, and Jesus came as a Savior of the world for you and for me. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It's God's word and plan laid out for us plainly so that we can know. The gospel is not hidden, and it is not intended to be hidden. The Scripture tells it all like it is, and he tells us for everyone to hear. Everything we need to know is written down in God's nonfiction great love story to us. And all of it is something we have from him. From him we have forgiveness of sins because he loves us. Colossians 1:13-14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. That's from God. That's his offer to all mankind. And from him we have eternal life. Everybody knows John 3:16, but don't forget John 5:24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And you know, the amazing thing is this, that every last one of us are able to live changed lives from the inside out because we've believed in him. And so can you. So can everyone we meet. But they need to see it and they need to hear it before they can believe it. And if we don't go, they never will. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. It's one of the first chapters of Scripture I memorized. I memorized 2 Corinthians chapter 5 before I was a Christian. And in it was contained this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a believer in Christ, this is your message. You are to go and share the gospel. that he's done everything to make it right with us, and we need to turn back to him. And you know what? If you're not, you're not fulfilling your life as a follower of Christ. Because we are all called to be part missionaries. Missionary work is about reaching all peoples. Every last one of them. There's no racial prejudice. In John chapter 4, you look at the Samaritan woman that Jesus went to, where here she was, the town prostitute, basically. And yet, Jesus still loved her and shared the gospel with her. In Acts chapter 8, you see the Ethiopian eunuch coming to a faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ and who he was. There is no barrier that Jesus didn't cross to be able to share the good news, that here is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and we need to do the same. You know, I heard something pretty cool. That Iran is one of the places where Christianity is growing the fastest. Because guess what? The Muslim religion in Iran was billed as the save all, do all for them. And they're seeing that that doesn't work. That it doesn't value life. It doesn't value people. And so they're eager to hear the good news of the gospel from people brave enough to go and to share it. And they're calling for people to pray that there will be Christians who are willing to share the gospel in Iran to tell people about Jesus, because people are coming to Christ in Iran and turning away from being Muslim to turning to Christ, even if it costs them their life. And we hear stories where families reject and families persecute, and they're like, oh, and it's so dangerous. But here's the thing. The problem is the government, the Muslim government, is the one persecuting the Christians. It's not the family members. When one family member turns to Christ, they're like, really? Tell us more. Because those who are dying and hungering for something more than what they have are finding that they're being satisfied in Jesus Christ. But it's going to take bold people willing to go and to cross some serious lines to make it happen. Maybe that's going to be you. Maybe it'll be me. But are we brave enough to go to those not like us? There's no social discrimination. There was the sinful woman who washed Jesus' feet, and the rich young man. Both had the opportunity to know Christ. One chose yes, one chose no. But here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He's willing to be the friend of any sinner. Turn to the person next to you and say, you know what? Jesus is even willing to be your friend. Go ahead. And that's good for all of us. It's not just good for some of us. Whether it was the prostitute or the rich guy that everybody wanted to be like, it didn't matter to Jesus. He loved them all. And there was no age discrimination between for Jesus. He welcomed little children in Matthew 19. And the old dude named Simeon was the first to know outside of Mary and Joseph about the Savior. Okay, you got the shepherds and stuff like that, that Savior was born. But Simeon had been waiting at the temple, begging God not to let him die until after the Savior was born. And check out when they brought Jesus to the temple, how excited Simeon was. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Simeon goes, I can die happy knowing that I've seen Jesus. Don't die yet, folks, because there's people you know who need to see Jesus yet. You see, every last one of us are lost and need salvation. We all need Jesus, and Jesus wants us all. You know, I was going to hit you with a great big giant passage of Scripture from Romans, and I was going to read it really fast, but I think you guys got the idea that Jesus wants everybody. He wants anybody. He wants nobody to be lost. And you know, the great thing is there are people in this room today that some of you wrote off years ago saying, there ain't no way, I can't believe, you know, Jesus must be real if this person ever gets saved. And guess what? Some of y'all are sitting here right now and are the perfect testimony of this was my life and this is how bad it was and how crappy of a human being I was, but I met Jesus and this is my life now. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's why Christ died for all, is so that he alone could save each and every one of us. And that's why we're to go out into the world and take the good news of the gospel out to everyone we meet until we die so that everyone else can live. So why is it there are so few missionaries going out these days? Why is that a problem that fewer and fewer are going out? Some people say they don't have the time because they're so busy building their kingdom. Some people say they don't have the money because they've got a house payment and two car payments and credit card payments from two Christmases ago they're trying to still pay off. We've all got our excuses why we don't go. But the reality is we don't have to go far. We just need to start going a little bit. You see, an object in motion stays in motion a lot easier. And it's easier to turn something. I've got these cool dollies that I can take a car and spin it around in circles right where it's at. But it's really hard to turn it by myself when it's on all four tires and the brakes are locked up. But you know what the cool thing is? Once it's going and rolling, you can roll it and turn the steering wheel, and then you can push it back the other way and turn it. You can make that car turn around. And some of us need to turn around from the directions we're going and start turning back into the direction of taking the gospel into the world. You know, wrote this down. You can share the gospel and never leave the ground, for those of you afraid of flying. You don't need a passport, and you don't need to spend a dollar, okay? So, how many of you are not in the dark ages and know what social media is? Facebook, Snapchat, all those things. I was inspired by somebody's sister-in-law. See, you can share the gospel in and from your home on social media. Share about the gospel as much as you share about those recipes that you like and the shoes you like and your political views and those puppy videos. Those puppy videos are so cute. And you don't even have to get out of your pajamas or put your pants on to do it, right? It's true. Nobody knows. You can be you could just be sharing away about Jesus, and nobody knows what you're wearing. Nobody has to see your face. But you have a perfect opportunity to share. Here's a crazy idea. Invite people over to your house for a meal. Not just once, but a couple times. You start feeding them, they keep coming back. And if you feed them, they want to hear more. Because they know that if they listen, they get fed more, right? That's how Awana really works. People are going, how do you make it work? Feed them. If you feed them, they will come. That's what I'm finding. Have Taco Tuesdays, Fajita Fridays, Spaghetti Saturdays, whatever it takes. But in your own Jerusalem, where you live, share the gospel. Remember your pick five from last week? Those five people that you know are going to hell? And aren't you glad you're not going with them? Start sharing with them about Jesus so they don't have to go to hell. See, they don't have to go to hell, they can choose to go to heaven. Spend a little time caring and loving and be amazed at what Jesus is able to do. Judea, that's your county. So when you're out shopping, traveling, talking to neighbors, talking to different people, build relationships and take the opportunity to share Jesus. But go share Jesus. Samaria, that's kind of like your state. Did you know that there are on average every day 11,000 people who are outside in the cold and probably are so desperate to get warm that they would come in to hear about Jesus today? There are 800 veterans on the streets in Illinois today. There are 1,225 families on the streets throughout Illinois today. And this one blew me away. There are 51,000 homeless students between pre-K through 12th grade who are living in shelters, on the street, or having to sleep on somebody's floor every day in Illinois. All who need the love of Jesus. And we should go and share with them. And to the end of the earth. For some of us, that's just until you hit the big bodies of water in whatever direction you're heading, right? That's just kind of like the deal. For some people, the deal breaker happens to be the beach. I know one person in particular that says, I am never getting on a plane. But if Jesus says you get on a plane, she's going to want written and photo ID from that one, but she'll get on the plane and go. So you might need a passport. You might need to board a plane because I tell you what, every time I've said, I will never, Jesus has said, oh yeah. Now that's a challenge. And he pushes me. So whether it's in your home in your PJs or in your county where you're shopping or in your state making a difference to go to work at Feed My Starving Children or going to a soup kitchen and helping out there or going to the ends of the earth, whether it be someplace ravaged by a hurricane or going all the way to going to Alaska like a team is going this summer, or maybe it's to another country like Iran where they need to hear the gospel. Go. Start. God opened doors, so we go. Before the doors on this place close, because we never went. And here's the thing. When do you stop being involved in missions? When we celebrate all that you did for God and sharing the gospel, because you're dead. Every last one of us can do something. We can pray. We can give. We can go. And you know what? That's what God says we're going to do. So get with it. Because none of us can sit here and the gospel go out. Because there's too many people dying without Jesus these days. And everybody needs to know him. Worship team, come on up. Father God, I thank you so much that you were the first one to go when you sent your son to share the good news that a Savior has been born, that you are for us and not against us, that you love us and will accept us. None of us are so far gone and lost in sin that we can't be saved. There will be many who choose not to be saved, because they reject you and the truth. And there are going to be many who never hear. And shame on us if that's the case. For you have told your people, the church, to go and share the good news everywhere until everyone hears. And God, I pray that you'll break us down until we get up and go and do it, so that you and your kingdom will be glorified and that there's not a lost person. Because when that happens, Jesus, we get to see you face to face. Lord, we love you. Let's show it by going. In Jesus' name, amen.